Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. God, we just thank you for your word tonight, and I pray that these are your words that I'm speaking. And as I say just about every time I get up and preach, they are powerful and they are life-changing. And so, Lord, let them be a revelation to each one of us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm speaking tonight about how to guard your heart. And before I read the scripture, I'm really delighted. Now, I know everyone's young here, okay, so I don't want people getting offended. But I am delighted that some of the youth leaders are here and some of the younger guys are here. Doesn't mean that it's not for everyone else, but I am really pleased because this is very, very important. I have seen, when I talk about guard your heart, I have seen over the years now, you know, when I was younger, some of, and I would say many of my friends that haven't done this. Haven't guarded their heart. And you would all be sitting here, even some of the younger ones, and you would be going, I've seen that. I've seen that in my friends. I've seen people who haven't guarded their heart, and I've seen how it's ended up for them, for their families, and for their lives. And so I hadn't prepared to just say that at the start, but I just think it is so important that we're switched on to this. It is absolutely imperative. And so tonight's message is guard your heart. So if you've got your Bibles there, if you want to open to the book of Proverbs, it is fitting that we are doing Proverbs. I love Proverbs. Proverbs is just a great book. And, you know, how coincidental is it, Andy, that there's 31 days in March? Isn't it amazing? One chapter every day. That is amazing. So I'm impressed. I was working that out on my seat. I'm thinking 31 days, 31 chapters. That's incredible. No one's got any excuses. But we're reading from Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. And we're reading from verse 20 and through to verse 27. And I'm reading from the Amplified version. My son, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. Open your ears to my saying. Before I go any further, at the start of chapter 4, we see, you know, in the first verse it says, listen to my words. And some versions with verse 20 say, listen carefully to my words. And so it's almost like the ante is upped as we get towards the end of the chapter. And so it says twice here, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. Open your ears to my sayings. And like I said, some versions say listen and listen carefully. So listen carefully. Verse 21, do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing and health to all their flesh. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful, lying, misleading mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead toward the path of moral courage, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you toward the path of integrity. Consider well and watch carefully the path of your feet, and all your ways will be steadfast and sure. Do not turn away to the right nor the left, where evil may lurk. Turn your foot from the path of evil. Now, along with Proverbs 3, where the scripture talks about trust in the Lord, this is probably my favourite proverb, is Proverbs 4. And so, when we read Proverbs 4:23 in the Amplified, it says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And I wrote down for me the NIV version as well, which is up there for you as well. And it says, above all else, the number one priority, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So tonight, I want to ask you three questions. And we're going to major on one of those questions. We're going to try and answer all three, but we're going to major on one of those questions. And the first question is, what is your heart? The second question is, why do we need to guard our heart? And the third question is, how do we guard our heart? So what is your heart? Why do we need to guard our heart? And how do we guard our heart or our hearts? So we're going to major on the third one. So what is your heart? Well, obviously, when you talk about the scripture that's in front of us, it's not talking about our physical heart. And the Bible actually mentions the heart many times, and I haven't got the statistics, that's the word, statistics, but it mentions it many times. It talks about the heart a lot. And the heart, if I could simplify it, it would be who you are on the inside. And I opened the Blue Letter Bible to go into the Hebrew because, you know, I just love going into the Hebrew. The Hebrew is kind of, you know, the place where I like to live. That's who I am on the inside, the Hebrew. And I'm amazing with the pronunciation. But the word for heart in the Hebrew is, I think it's pronounced lave or, I think it's lave. It's the spelling is L-E-B and it's pronounced lave. And it is, and in the description and the meaning of it, it's described like this. So this is the heart. What is the heart? It's the inner man. It's the mind. It's the will. It's the understanding. It's the soul. The knowledge. The thinking. The reflection. The memory, the inclination, the resolution, the determination of will, the conscience, the heart of moral character, the appetites, and the emotions. And so when we think of the heart and why we need to guard our heart, you can see why it is so important. And it's more than just the thing beating inside your chest, as much as that is a very important part of your life, because without it you wouldn't be living, but this is what the word is talking about here. So why do we need to guard our heart? And in verse 23, I'll read it again, and I'll read it out of the NIV. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And once again, I'll go to the Hebrew. And so it's spelt N-A-S-A-R. That's what to guard is. And it's pronounced natsaya. And it means to guard, to watch over, to keep, to preserve, and to guard from dangers. That's what that actually means. And so when we see that scripture, it says, above all else, guard your heart. And then it says, for everything you do flows from it. So why do we need to guard our heart? And it is because everything we do flows from it. And there is I looked at the Hebrew, and I'm not going to go into the pronunciation of it. But there's four or five words which they put together, and they put this description. And it's, four out of it are the issues. Okay, so that part where it says, for everything you do flows from it, some versions say, for out of it are the issues. And they are, a place from which any person goes out. So it's where you live out of. It's the borders around your life that you live out of. And I love this. It says it's the source of life, the source of all life, but it also says it's the escape from death. I reckon that's amazing. So it's not only the source of life, but it's the escape from death. And so I wrote this definition. I've put it up on the screen, and this is the scripture as I've described it. So guard, watch over, preserve your heart, which is, so guard, watch over, preserve who you are on the inside, your mind, will, emotions and conscience, because it is the border from which we go out, the source of life and the escape from death. And so it is just so important that we guard our heart. And it is one of the most important scriptures in the Word of God when it comes to how we implement it into our life. So I just want to tell you a little story. Last year, early last year, before COVID kicked in, if we can put that picture up, Al. Before COVID kicked in, this is a house that is in Glen Iris, and part of the job that I do is building and maintenance. And you might think, well, it's, you know, it's just a house, and it is a house. But there is a story to it. Now, this house has recently been sold for $5 million. Okay? So, when I first went in it, honestly, I went inside and we had to check a couple of things up, and the owner of the building had decided they didn't want to keep it, and so they'd put tenants in it. And the tenants, they were youngish people and they were into a lot of different stuff, and as in not good stuff. It wasn't good. And I walked into the house, and it was not a nice place to walk into. It was horrible, and you could have a real sense of evil in it. And not only did that take place, but because they'd sold the house, all these people eventually moved out, and so I was in there early in the year, and it wasn't really nice. But then, through the year after these people moved out, I went in and checked the house out. And if we can just show the second picture, I took this picture on Thursday or Friday, and we've just redone all the floors, and they look amazing, and the place is beautiful on the inside. Now, up until probably, if you went into that house in October last year, it had mouldy, horrible mouldy carpet. All the ceilings, and if I showed you a picture, the ceilings are beautiful. All the ceilings had water damage and mould and everything through it. That fireplace, the thing around the fireplace? The mantelpiece around the fireplace had been stolen. So there's a beautiful... can we go back to the other picture? I'll see if I can see that. On the left-hand side there where you can see my car, there was a beautiful big stained glass window. It had been stolen. It had been looted. They had a washing machine in it that had been stolen. They had taken all the hot water system out. The place was a wreck. It seriously was a wreck. A $5 million house had been absolutely destroyed. And one of the things that was about this house is that, you know, these people had moved out, but the front gates were wrecked. It was all decrepit, and people could just walk in and out as they want. And, you know, they were breaking in at every point. So this is really a beautiful house, but it had pretty much been destroyed. And it was a very sad thing. And if you want to, let's line the picture up with the heart. And this is what happens when the heart gets destroyed. And so we've spent the last few months repairing it, getting it back to where, they took kitchen bench tops, they smashed mirrors, they, like, thousands of dollars worth of damage. And so my question to you is, how do we guard our heart from something like this? How do we guard our heart? And that's what I want to major on tonight. And so the first thing that I would say to you tonight is we need to be intentional about this. You can't just float along and think your heart's going to be all right. You must be intentional. And if we have a look at the intentional wording in the scriptures, And Al, could we just go back to the first scripture, if you can, where we got the whole lot? Thank you. And I want you to look at how intentional the wording in the verses is. And I've put wording in there from other versions as well. And these aren't just, oh, by the way, it might be a nice idea if you guard your heart. Just in saying this, just by the way, here's a good idea for you. And so verse 20, it says, attend to my words. Pay attention. Listen carefully. Verse 23 says, keep vigilant. Keep guard. Verse 24 says, put away, avoid. Verse 26 says, watch, ponder, make, consider, mark. These are the different versions that I looked up and read. And 27 says, do not, turn not, don't. These seven verses are so full of intentionality. And God is telling us we need to be intentional about the heart. We've seen how important the heart is, and we need to be extremely intentional. And remember I said back, you know, one of the descriptions was where it says a place from which a person goes out, the border from which we go out. So I wrote three things that we need to do to guard the heart. And number one is we need to check the boundaries. Go to that one, Al. Number two is we need to secure the entry points. And number three is we need to change the locks. So check the boundaries, secure the entry points, and change the locks. And to a degree, if someone becomes a Christian, there's a process in which they need to understand how this works. But we need to make sure we come back to this all the time. We need to be intentional about it. And so I would ask you this. Have you checked the boundaries of your heart? Do you have them in place? Do you have the boundaries in place? How sure are they? Are your boundaries based on the Word of God? The real truth. Do you have boundaries in your relationships? What do you listen to? Do you have boundaries? Okay, so the second one is, have you secured the entry points? And so I just want to go to the second lot of pictures, Al. So this is, can we go to the gate? Can we go to the gate, the picture of the gate? So this is the gate which we have, it's still not properly, but it is very secure now. And later last year we went to this, and it had been busted open three or four times and people were just walking in. And so when I ask about the boundaries and the entry points, we actually had to walk around the whole property and we had to check every area to see that people weren't getting in. So we had to diligently check every area. And with this gate, it the number of times that we came there and it had been smashed, we had to keep putting it up. We had to keep doing the same thing and putting it up. Because the enemy doesn't play games. And he will keep trying to smash the gate down. And you must be diligent about putting it up. And whatever it takes, you must do. And so it is so important that we guard our heart. And so those first two things is check the boundaries and secure the entry points. And so in Nehemiah 2:17, when I said about checking the boundaries, I know the youth said, Nick said the youth have been doing some of this. Nehemiah 2:17, this is when Nehemiah went in and he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem because they had been knocked down. And in 17 it says, then I said to them, you see the bad situation that we're in, how Jerusalem is desolate and lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come and let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a disgrace. We must have boundaries and we must check the entry points. It is just so important. So when I ask, have you secured the entry points? What are your priorities in life? Do you need to reprioritize your life? Do God and His ways line up with your priorities? when it comes to the entry points? Have you changed the locks? But no one else had a key, so it's okay. How do you know no one else had a key to the locks? Now, we came into this place and we thought it was secure. And so this is inside the house. We thought it was actually secure. And what was happening was, we came in one day and we saw a trolley, which was a really nice trolley, by the way, a good moving trolley, which we took for ourselves. It was nice. But someone had left it there. They'd obviously been caught in the middle of stealing the washing machine and something else. I can't remember what else they stole. But they had a key. And we know they had a key. So we had everything locked down and they'd gone in with the key. So at that point, we changed the locks. Where have you given people or the enemy access that you haven't changed the locks? It is so important that you don't allow things that have been a problem for you and for your heart in the past, that you don't deal with those things. You must deal with them because they will keep getting in. Now, we haven't had one break in since we changed all the locks, since we fixed the gate and we changed the locks. We haven't had one break in. Now, if they want to go in and smash the windows and everything, well, there's not a lot we can do. But even in the sliding doors, we put, you know how you put sticks behind the sliding doors? We had to put sticks behind the sliding doors just so they wouldn't open at all. So we've closed that building down as best we can. And if we go back to the picture, Al, of the house, there is a, right at the front door, there is this, it's like a cage on the front of the door, and then you've got the front door behind it. And there's about probably, a metre or so. I tell you what, nearly every time we've come in the last few weeks, someone has tried to break through that metal gate to get to the front door. And so this is the way the enemy works. He will try and get to your heart. And you need to be diligent about straightening those things and fixing them up. And so when I say, have you changed the locks? And you cannot say, but no one else had a key, because someone can always get one cut, and don't give him access. Have the wrong voices got access to your life? I want to ask you that. Have the wrong voices got access to your life? Which voices are you allowing access to your life? Change the locks. Get new keys. Now, I think the last four verses, and Steph, can I get you to, we won't sing, but can I just get you to come up and play as I tidy this up for the next 5 minutes? I think the last four verses give us a picture of how to guard your heart. And it deals with three areas. Firstly, it deals with the mouth. Secondly, it deals with the eyes and the sight. And thirdly, it deals with the feet and your walk. And we see in Proverbs 4:20. Someone's trying to ring me, by the way. It's my son. He's actually, I've got my phone here because I need it. He's trying to ring me. Should I answer it? Don't answer it? Okay, I won't answer it. Okay, let's not get distracted from what we're doing. It deals with three... I'm a church son, just take it easy. It deals with three areas. The mouth, the eyes, and the feet. The first thing is the mouth. In Proverbs 4:24, it says, put away from you a deceitful, lying, misleading mouth, and put devious lips far from you. I'll never forget my mum used a quote from a Sir Walter Scott's poem from the 1800s. She used to say this. And it was from A Tale of the Flodden Field. That was the poem. And it goes like this. It says, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. The enemy is the chief of all liars. He is the greatest liar that has ever been. No one will ever be a better liar than the enemy. And I think Proverbs 4:24 gives us a really good picture of something where it says put away, but it, like when you see someone lying And when you see, and I've been in this place before, by the way, or they're misleading with the mouth, or they've got devious lips, you can see a damaged heart. And it's really, really sad when you see it. And you and I've seen this. I've seen people slowly but surely get worse and worse. Their mouth starts to go off track. And so as this scripture talks about both lying and devious and corrupt talk, these things show the issues of the heart. Luke 6:45 says, and once again, I always love the Amplified. And so just read this, let it sink in. The intrinsically good man produces what is good and honourable and moral out of the good treasures stored in his heart. And the intrinsically evil man produces what is wicked and depraved out of the evil in his heart. And this is what I love, how it finishes. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of his heart. Where's your heart at tonight? The opposite of lying is truth. And the truth always shows up lies. Ephesians 5 and 25 to 26, I haven't got it on the screens. It talks about how the word washes us clean. Now, it's not quite, you know, if you've got, you know, he used to get at school, the whole, you know, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap and water. But the word actually washes us clean with the truth. And it is just so important that we wash our heart with the word. It is so important. And, you know, as a kid, you know, I used to love mucking around and playing around outside. Mum would say, can you go and have a shower? And I'm like, I don't want to have a shower. You know what? Sometimes we get up in the morning, or we go to bed at night and we go, oh, I just can't be bothered reading the word. But it washes us, washes our day, it sets us up in the morning. Allow the word to wash you because it's truth. And it highlights in our lives if we've had devious talk or we've got lies. And part of this scripture is really talking so powerfully about how do we guard our heart. So that's the first way that we guard our heart. We must wash it with the Word of God. Okay, so the second thing is the eyes and the sight. Verse 25 says, let your eyes look directly ahead toward the path of moral courage and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you toward the path of integrity. Your vision is so important. What is your sight fixed on? Is your vision, is your purpose, is it based on what you want to do? Is that what it is? Is it based on what you want to do? Or is it actually based on what God wants for you? It is so important that, you know, I was talking to the youth leaders last week about vision and purpose. And it's so important that we come from the right motive. And the motive is that we come from what God wants for us. You know, I was talking to someone at a minister's meeting the other day, and it was a guy who came through this church and started a church out in Melton. And I heard someone say about him that he is just so black and white. He goes, I'm not a pastor. I just do what God's called me to do. Doesn't want the title. He just wants to do what God's called him to do. So where is your sight? Where is your vision? Are you doing what God's called you to do, or are you doing it because it's a good idea or it seems nice? Because if you're doing that, if you're doing what God's called you to do, because remember he says that he gives us the desires of our heart when we delight ourselves in him. Let your vision be right. Get your eyes right. Okay. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, no revelation of God and His word, the people are unrestrained. They cast off restraint, or they have no vision. But happy, and listen to this, I love the second part of 18, but happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. Keep your vision right. The last one is the feet and the walk. And this is for someone tonight. I know this has been, there's one particular part of this that has been impressing on me. Verse 26 says, consider well, and I put this one up on the screen. Consider well and watch carefully the path of your feet, and all your ways will be steadfast and true. Do not turn away to the right nor the left, where evil may lurk. Turn your foot from the path of evil. Firstly, if you want to walk steadfast, you need to walk in the light. If you're walking in the light, you can see where you're going. You can see where you're putting your feet. And even if, you know, I don't know, has anyone here ever rolled their ankle before? I went for a few years, man, and I would, like a little pebble this big, I would roll my ankle on it. And I think I did it at a young adults event a few years ago, and I nearly died on it. It was so painful. On a little rock, and I felt like a knucklehead, but it was dark. It was dark and I couldn't see where I was going. We need to walk in the light. It's really clear. Consider well, it says, consider well and watch carefully the path of your feet, and all your ways will be steadfast and sure. Wherever possible, watch your path. Watch where you're walking. You need to be aware of it. And you know what? I didn't put this in. But if you're walking in a certain direction and going somewhere, go and talk to someone who's got runs on the board, who's done life and done it well, and say, what do you think about the path that I'm walking? Get some accountability. That was an offshoot. I didn't have that in the message, but you can write it down if you want. It's probably important. And verse 27 is the thing that really highlighted for me. It says, do not turn away to the right nor the left, where evil may lurk. Turn from your foot from the path of evil. And this is for one or two people tonight, might be more. And I wrote down, don't dabble. Do not dabble. This little bit won't hurt. A little listen, a little drink, a little watch, a little time of doing this. And that's what I think this is saying. Because it says, do not turn away to the right nor the left, where evil may lurk. It says, turn your foot from the path of evil. You know, when we guard our heart, the opposite of guarding our heart, I think, is dabbling in the things of evil. I think it's dabbling. It's just that little bit won't hurt. I'll be okay. I'll be all right. It'll be okay if I watch that show. It'll be okay. It'll be okay if I go out to that nightclub. It'll be okay. Nothing will happen. It'll be all right. I'm just going to dabble a bit. Well, you just, what you do there is you take one of your boundaries, or you take one of the locks off the door, or you open the gate to the enemy. Guard your heart. So how do we guard our heart? Number one, the washing of the word. Number two, be sure about your vision and purpose, that it is what God wants. And number three, watch where you walk. I want everyone to stand tonight. I love the word of God. There's something in it for all of us, don't you think? That dabble thing was so strong, and I just want a response in your right where you are. I just want you to raise your hand up if you've been dabbling and you know you shouldn't be. If that's you, I'm not going to muck around. If that's you, put your hand up. If you've been dabbling and you know you shouldn't have been, okay, hand up. You're amongst friends here. It's all right. That's okay. Doesn't matter how old you are. We all dabble sometimes in the wrong things. I want to pray this over you, that you don't forget to guard your heart, and you don't forget the importance of it, for everything in life flows from it. The importance of it is imperative. So let's pray. Thank you guys for putting your hands up. Confess your faults before man, and I'll confess them before Father in heaven. Father, I just thank you for your word. Lord, this is just so important for every single one of us. I pray that you would imprint it on our hearts, every aspect of it, the mouth, the eyes, and the feet. Father, I pray that we would well and truly walk in your way. Our mouth would speak healthy things, and our vision would be lined up with you. So let your spirit rest upon every person. If you turned the wrong way, that's okay. Andy talked about turning back the other way, turning towards God. That's what repentance is. It's a very simple thing. It's not a harsh word. The enemy makes it stupid. It's not stupid. Just turn back the right way. So, Father, I pray that tonight you would not only seal the deal here with each person, but, Father, we would walk in your way, and we would take this with us and never forget to guard our heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.